Well, are we awake? Because we kind of lost an hour, right? We kind of lost an hour, but it's okay, right? I went to bed earlier. Usually I don't do that, but I do feel better than I did last year. So I'm not going to do that what I did last year. So, yeah. But it's good to be in the house of the Lord today. Amen. I hope your walk with the Lord is good. Just good to be here. So many people choose other things, and I know that being in the house of the Lord, God knows, and God knows where our hearts are today, and you're here, and really, there's nothing really going on Sunday mornings anywhere else in our nation, really. No ball games on Sunday morning. There's nothing. So it's either we get up and go to church, or we stay home and we sleep in, or we watch the dumb TVs we can watch all week long. Really. Games and sports will be in the afternoon for sure. But God gives us, really in America, He gives us no excuse. So think about that. He really gives us no excuse. We have an easy way to be able to make it. And you are here this morning. But I want you to turn over to... We're going to be in the book of Isaiah today, Isaiah chapter 40. And I want you to know that God blesses in an amazing way. But sometimes God also disciplines in a way that we need that. We know that when the people, when we go back to the book of Exodus and God pulled the people out of Egypt, took them to a promised land, they refused to go in, they had to wander for 40 years out into the desert. That generation pretty much had to die off because God's going to do what He said He's going to do, and God's people were going to get that land. But there's also a future piece here where men did not want to listen to God, did not want to listen to the prophets, did not want to listen to anything that God had said. And so the people just rebelled, and God said, listen, I'm going to allow an enemy to come in, and you're going to be taken captive, and you're going to go to Babylon. You're going to be in captivity for 70 years. You're just going to be there. Basically, you know what both of those were? A wake-up call. That's what they were, a wake-up call. And getting that wake-up call was pretty tough. You know, and I'm sure that some of them went to the Lord and said, Lord, I confessed their sins and repented. There is that remnant. But even the remnant, they all got into, they all had to go through it. And they didn't want to listen to prophets like Isaiah. But also Isaiah had written some things that God had for them for when they were going to get out and be done with it. And that's where we're going to go today, that the God that we have is a comforting God. He disciplines and He loves. And I want you to remember there's a balance in that as well, that God does discipline those whom He loves. We just don't go to the Lord we just don't expect Him just to love us and give us and grant us everything. God is not a genie in a bottle by no means at all. God is not a genie in a bottle by no means at all. And He is worthy of our worship, and we are called to worship. We were made to worship Him. We were made to have a relationship with Him. And folks, we were made to do life His way. And we refuse to do it His way, then we cause ourselves to have problems. And if we're a believer in Christ, then we are going to even have more problems because the Lord is going to discipline us. Does that make us no longer a child of God? No, we talked about that last week. This means you're a rebellious child. You're a child that gets in a lot of trouble. You're a child that has to stand in the corner a lot. You're a child that gets grounded a lot. You're a child that loses different things. And you lose the car keys. You have to be home at a certain time before the rest of the siblings. Listen, sometimes God disciplines. And when He does it for the right reasons and the right purposes. And He knows exactly what He is going to do. Does it mean He stopped loving you? Doesn't mean He stopped loving you. It's not a George Jones song. He's going to love you continuously. But He will discipline at times. Isaiah chapter 40 comes to that piece. After all these things that God is putting His people through, telling them the things that they weren't doing and all the other things that were going on and how they were going to captivity, how that was going to be like, and just a whole lot of things. Chapter 40 is a chapter of hope. It's a chapter of hope. So this is the chapter of hope that God is going to allow. Okay? Israel was in trouble because they stopped believing. They stopped trusting God. And I want to remind you, when you stop believing that God can take care of you, you stop trusting in God, look at your circumstances and look what's around you. It just gets worse. Because what you're saying is, I no longer want the blessed hand of God on me. I'm going to do my thing. And men and women, we are terrible at living our lives outside the will of God. We are horrible with it. We are horrible with it. Chapter 40, we're going to just do a couple of verses here, and we're going to move into some deeper verses. But this here is chapter 1, chapter 40, verse 1. Comfort, comfort, my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and announce to her that her time of forced labor is over. Her iniquity has been pardoned, and she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. Wow. There's a piece of hope that is coming here. There's a piece of hope that God is putting out before the people. Verse 80 says, the grass withers, the flowers fade, but the word of our God remains forever. When God says something, it's going to happen. Just going to be. Not like when you and I say something. We say we're going to do it at 10 o'clock. Yeah, we'll do it at 10:20. Or we may not even show up. God keeps His word. And the word, the Bible, it is filled with God's promises. And not one of those has He not fulfilled. And the ones that we're waiting for, in the book of Revelation, Daniel, it's going to happen. But they come to a place in verse 27. I'm going to do these verses individually, and I want to share with you. I want to do it through a question, a little bit different than normal. But verse 27, it is, does God not see me? Does God not even see me? This is what the verse says. Jacob, why do you say in Israel, why do you say, my way is hidden from the Lord, and my claim is ignored by my God? Sometimes we do get to a place where we feel like it's just been all doom and gloom, and we get to a place where we feel like, does God even see me anymore? And they felt like that. Does God even see me anymore? Even coming out of a captivity, does God even see me anymore? What I had, I lost. They just believed that God was far off. He was too far off and unable to help them. We get like that sometimes, that God is too far off and He is unable to help us. Some believe that God just didn't care. God just doesn't care. Let me tell you, most of the time when I hear people that God, when they'll say God doesn't care, and this is a tough one, when you lose a loved one, I've heard people say God doesn't care. Why did God allow that to happen? Listen, as men and women, there's a time set that we are going to die. It's a part of life. It's a part of it. It comes from the book of Genesis, with man's sin. Death is inevitable. We're going to die. But people have said that God doesn't care. If God was real, He would have healed my grandpa. He would have helped my dad. He would have helped my spouse. And those can be tough conversations. Let me remind you, before we're even in that room, God's already there. God knows it And he does care. He does see. God does see. He does see. These people were physically weak. They were wore out. They were spiritually weak. And they thought God had abandoned them. And maybe today you feel like God may have abandoned you. But let's see what the scripture says. In verse 28, as he answered, he says, "Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the whole earth. He never becomes faint or weary. There is no limit to his understanding." Does God even know? Yes, he does. God is the creator of all things. That's what the writer said. He is the creator. He's the everlasting God. He's the creator of all things. Let me tell you, he knows about what's going on in your life more than you do. You may think you're doing things for certain purposes, but he knows your heart. He knows truly why you do them. He knows what you're anticipating. He knows what you think the outcome should be. He knows when your prayers are legit and when they're from the heart, or when you're just speaking to getting it out of the way. God is there. If he can hang the stars and create the sun and the moon, he knows about you and your life. The writer is saying that God knows it all. God does know. That God does know. God is his understanding is beyond our understanding. We need to know that there are things that we just don't get to know. We just don't get to know because we can't understand it. It says he never becomes faint. He never gets exhausted. He's never going to sleep. He doesn't get weary. He doesn't lose his power. He doesn't get tired. But we do. But we do. We do. It gets exhausting when you're working with a loved one who is sick. It's exhausting. It's mentally exhausting when you are with someone that you love and you are being a caregiver with them. That's exhausting. It's exhausting when you have a bill that keeps, the bills keep coming in the mail and you're having a hard time paying them. It's exhausting. It's exhausting when you have a marriage and you keep fighting all the time. It's exhausting when you have a child that wants to be the prodigal and just keep causing problems all the time. It's literally exhausting. But God never gets exhausted. Life can be exhausting. The suicide rate is higher now than it's ever been. It's in the top 10, what they call diseases, or the causes of death. Suicide is the only one that's not a disease. The rest is cancer and other things, heart attack, all those things. Because people are exhausted. They would choose to check out than to work through because they're so exhausted. But God doesn't get exhausted and he doesn't get tired. And then he goes to verse 29. He says, he gives strength to the faint and strengthens the powerless. So the question is, how will God help me? How will God help me? Well, let me just take a step back and say, how's it working for you right now? You see, right now, if you have God in your life, no matter what you're going through, it is better. If your way was working, you wouldn't be some of those problems that you have right now, because man's way doesn't work. Doesn't mean man's not smart, he's not intelligent, educated, all those things. We have science, we have all those things. But when it comes to the things of life, the world can't get it. The world can't get it. The world can't figure it out because the world wants to continue to do. You do what you feel. You do what you want. You do what you think is best. God doesn't say you do what you feel. He doesn't say you do what you think is best. God says, follow me, and I'll show you. Come to me. And we find a way that He says, how will God help me? Well, verse 29 says, He gives strength to the faint and strengthens the powerless. Now, how do you get that? Well, one, you have to know Him. The Bible says you have not because you ask not. It says, ask and you shall receive, seek and you shall find, knock and the door shall be opened. You have to have a conversation with God about it. You have to ask. You have to pray about that. You have to have a relationship with Him. God loves to give to His children. He says here, He gives strength to the faint. So if the faint is exhausting, here it is. God will help you through your exhaust, and He will give you strength to work through that, being exhausted, and get you out of that exhaustion. Lord, I'm at the hospital. I'm exhausted. I don't know how to keep working. Or I'm at home and my grandma, my mom, or whoever it is, they are at their bedside and they're struggling and it's wearing me out. A pastor friend of mine told me everybody was wore out. And I'm going to tell you, everybody was wore out. His father was getting close to passing away. It was in hospice. Anybody here know about hospice? It's a one-way, hospice is a one-way ticket. You go, you use 99%, you don't leave. And if you do leave, you usually end up coming back. You just had a few good days. My pastor friend said that his father was there in hospice. Everybody was there. Actually, this was at the hospital. Let me take it back. He was at the hospital before he went to hospice. And they were getting ready to move him to hospice. His great-grandson came to the hospital, and he marched in. He's marching with a big Bible right through the middle of the hospital doors. Boom. Walks in there, hits the button, not afraid of anybody to see his Bible. Gets up, gets in the elevator with a crowd of people, gets all the way up to the floor, walks in that room like he owns the room. 15 years old, he walks in and takes the chair, moves it, and gets in front of his great-grandpa, and he begins to read the Word of God to his dying grandfather. You know what happens to your exhaustion when that happens? It goes away. Why? Because the power of God comes in, uses a 15-year-old boy, and strengthens the whole room. My great-grandfather would want to hear the Word of God. Had the guts enough to do it, to walk right through the doors and read to his dying great-grandfather. I think God strengthens in ways that we can't even understand. God strengthens those who are exhausted. But He also gives power. He also strengthens those who are powerless, those who just don't even have any power left, those who are completely empty. Let me remind you, God does not only have power, but He gives power where it's needed. Sometimes you can get to the end of your rope and you have nothing left, and God can give you the power to stand back up. What does that look like? On another scale, these people needed to figure that out. They were exhausted coming out of all of this bondage. They were exhausted. Had to figure out how to do life again. Without telling somebody them what to do. Sometimes it's a pile of bills over there on the desk or on the windowsill or somewhere in the kitchen that drawer, wherever you keep those bills, and you go, I don't want to go in there and look because I just got two more into the mailbox and I just don't know how in the world I'm going to pay them. How many of you been there? Folks, this is an inner city church. Oh, come on now. We're going to call it the way it is. This is inner city church. Folks, I can tell you one really quick. I can tell you that me and my wife, we were sitting there in our apartment. I got out of the military. I was used to carrying all kinds of money and doing all kinds of things. And when you get out of the military, you lose all that authority. You lose it all, man. I was like, I had nothing. Couldn't find a job. going doing a drug deal for $10,000 for our government and buying the mafia, all that stuff I'm doing. The next thing I know, I finally get out after 5 years. I'm in an apartment and I can't even get a job. Me and God had some words on that one. Because you know what was happening? I couldn't even pay my bills. I was used to X amount of money, and here I am now getting unemployment. $126 a week. You think I could feed my wife, myself, and my son? $126 a week? And Carla got a job working at a house, doing some kind of cleaning thing. And then I was sitting there thinking, Lord, I don't know what to do. I got a truck payment. What am I going to do here? I got a truck payment. I got a house payment. I got to put food on the table. $126 a week. What are we going to do here, Lord? That's how I thought. What are we going to do? The bank just called and said, they're coming to get the truck. They're coming to get the truck. I said, what do you need? What do you need? We need $78. I think it was 35 cents. We need $78, 35 cents. That's all we need is interest. I couldn't even worry about the other bills. If I don't have a truck, I have no way to get a job. And I said, Lord, here it is. I walked away from that whole lifestyle. I walked away from it. I'm trying to live what you want. What do you want? What do you want? I'm sitting here. You know what? God had it all together. I didn't. I didn't have any of it together. And the next day, and I had to have that money in like 2 days. I run up to the bank. Carla got this little job thing that I think it paid her like $30. I think she went to work with my mom or some cleaning thing. She got $30 for that day's work, half a day, whatever it was. And then Don's dad, Phil, called me and said, "Hey, Jimmy, you want to make $50? Yeah, I'll make $50." So I went out there and helped her. I forgot your uncle Dick. Yep, move stuff, and I'm like. You know, and I'm sitting here going, oh, man, I got to help this and get this and pizza. And these guys wanted to, listen, I'm here to work. I want to work. I'm working and working. I looked over and I'm like, man, that dude's got a helicopter, man. That guy has a helicopter. And I started looking, man, how in the world did you get all this? I didn't tell him that. My mind's thinking that. I said, wait a minute, I'm here for $50. That's all I need, $50. Get your eyes off the chopper. Get your eyes and keep helping load up. Keep loading up. And you keep seeing these other guys work. They weren't working that much. But I said, I got to make $50. $50. I got that $50, came back, and 30, and then I went to the, and then we got it, $80. That thing was $78 and some cents, and I went down and I paid that truck off. At least that payment. You know what that does? God says, I'm giving you enough for today. Because today, you're actually talking to me and not talking at me. We're talking. I got it more for you. So I know that God strengthens those who are faint and exhausted, but he also strengthens those who are powerless, who don't have any power. He gives you power. And folks, let me tell you, that was a long road. That year was tough. I ended up working in a security place, making $6.50 an hour, some security steel company, I think it was. And I was like, what am I doing here? But God was moving things all along. It takes time all along. And God is moving things all along. And we get impatient, but we'll come to that. Then he says in verse 30, he comes to this part here. He says, young people may become faint and weary, or may become faint and weary, and young men stumble and fall. Sometimes we look around and we see in the world, why does the world look so strong and powerful? But even those that are even strong and powerful, they will become weak at one time. Sometime in their life, they will become weak. Physical strength will fail everyone at one time. You will not have enough physical strength in your life. There's a time when your physical strength is going to be done. It's time for you to die. And I don't care how many muscles you got, I don't care how much shape you're in, your physical strength at some time in your life is going to fail you. And it may be, you may be in super, I've seen people, there was a member here, Jason, loved him, did our children's church stuff, did that, but he ended up get in a car wreck, he ended up having, you know, he was sick. Had this cancer. He died like 2 months later. Just like really quick. But in his apartment, I seen it. He had a punching bag. He was in shape pretty good, doing his thing. Doesn't matter. It's good to stay in shape. Believe me, I do. I try to do my best. But listen, you can't, everything loses its power, physical power. Everyone will. So don't look at what the world is doing. We get our strength from God. Then he goes to this place. And what is very, very well known, you'll see it on scripture plaques, you'll see it on photos, you'll see it on Facebook, and it's a very well known piece of scripture. But those who trust in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not become weary. They will walk and not faint. Wow. How do we get through it? We get through all of this stuff of life exhaustion and low strength and low power and just feel like giving up. We get our strength from God. How do we get through this? We get it through the Lord Jesus Christ. That's it. That's it. But you can't put God way over here on the shelf and think you're going to have a good relationship with him and then walk away from him and go back to that shelf and think he's going to be there and you're going to keep doing that and live one life over here, 80% of your life in the world and 20% over here. I'm going to attend church on Sunday, but on Sunday I'm going to be fine, but on my other days, those are my days. No, they're not. The air that you breathe belongs to God. Look down at the ground next time you see the grass. Underneath the grass is called dirt. Dirt. Bible says we came from the dirt. What made us alive that God touched made alive, but it wasn't. We weren't alive until he breathed the living spirit into man, into that pile of dirt. And then it says the man became alive, became a living person. Folks, I'm going to tell you, as much sometimes as we can be critical to our younger folks, to be critical to what we feel sometimes as people feel entitled or we feel like we're struggling with our young elementary student children and then our teens, let me tell you, we need to give them a break a little bit. We need to give them a break. A lot of them were just, they were raised through this whole war thing. They got this thing called a cell phone. It's in their pockets. They're always carrying it. It's got so much, does so much damage. They stress out. I can be hard at times as well, but I do understand that they are living in a time that's different than we grew up. If you grew up in the 70s and 80s when I did, that was a different time, different things. Well, if you grew up in the 50s and 60s, that was a different time and a different thing. If you grew up in the 90s, it was different. Each generation has its big problems. And our young people, they need to hear us encourage them more than tear them down. You know, Phil said something to me back here, and when we go back and pray, and said, a friend of his, anyway, there's 9-year-olds looking at pornography at school. What are we going to do with that? That's on our watch. What are we going to do with that? What are we going to do with that? That's the world. We got people trying to say, that's all good now. It's okay. They're trying to teach kids that first grade, all kinds of things that they shouldn't be teaching. I'm not saying it because that's what I feel. I'm saying it because in here, Scripture says some things that you lead a child into sin. I'm telling you what. You cause a child to sin. I'm telling you, God knows. And the day of reckoning is coming. It's not because of what we say. is God on what he judges, and he will judge righteously. So we should be encouraging to our young people. But God encourages, his word encourages us. But we are also to wait. Wait with some eagerness and anticipation. That is our faith. Knowing that even when you go through a time when you're struggling financially, or you're going through a time when you lost someone, and it's really, you need to have some patience, but eagerly knowing with anticipation that God is going to take care of me. I got to do what I've got to do. I've got to get a job. Oh, I've got to, you know, I've got to be with my family. Listen, I'm telling you, I know that some of you have done that piece where you've been with loved ones till the end of their time. It is truly exhausting. It doesn't mean you don't love them. It means you love them. And people don't understand that unless they've been through that, but it is a tough piece. Trying to get a job when you can't get a job. Listen, folks, there's jobs all over the place, but there's a time coming when those jobs are going to be coveted, because it's just a cycle. It's just a cycle that we've never been through, and this cycle's coming. Listen, you try to go get a job in the late 80s and see what happened. If you live in the late 80s, I'm telling you, it was tough. It wasn't no starting off a job, getting 2-3 weeks vacation. No, you didn't get a vacation until like 2-3 years. And when you start a job, you started a job with minimum wage. What is it? No, I'm not working there unless I make $20 an hour. I'm not working there until I get 22. And you'd be 18 years old talking like that, 20 years old. Are you kidding me? But it's the time we're living in. Take it. Take the job. But I will tell you, work it. Because those jobs aren't always going to be there. These people struggled. I thought God had abandoned them. And this is what's going to happen with our nation. You're going to think God abandoned us unless you know his word. You're going to say, you know what? There's a part of me that feels like, where's God? Where's God? Wait a minute. I know his word. I know what his word says, and I'm going to live off his word. But those who trust in the Lord, those who trust in the Lord, those who believe in God, those who have given their life back to God, those who trust in the Lord, it says, will renew their strength. And let me tell you, it doesn't mean you get all what you want, but it means there's a part in you that will become encouraged. And you'll get your joy back in that area. And it begins to say, then they will soar on wings like eagles. You'll be able to do what you could never have done on your own. You know what soar means? It doesn't mean you're flapping, wearing yourself out. That means you're just like cruising. You ever see those eagles cruise? Sometimes I'm like, Lord, maybe give me a day like that. Ooh, that looks good. That's good. Then flap a couple. Ooh, back up there. Not like I'm wearing myself out, because that's what some of us are doing. We're wearing ourselves out. Let me tell you, if God's got you under discipline, I don't care how many jobs you get. It ain't going to work. I don't care if you make $200,000. If God's got you under discipline, he's going to let you have pockets, and there's going to be holes in it. There's a whole prophet, Haggai, about that. But where's my money? Where's my stuff? You plant, and you get nothing. You sow, but you don't reap. You put it in your pocket, and you go, where's it at? Let me tell you can't outmake what God gives. It isn't about that. And he says, and they will run and not become weary. Ooh, I want to run and not get tired. Not get exhausted. I want to run and not get, you know, when you're in running, if you run and you feel good about it, it just feels good. Some of you are like, what are you talking about? I don't like to run. I get it. There's a verse for you at the end of it. They will walk. They will walk and not faint, because we're not all runners and we're not all walkers. But let me tell you, we're moving, all moving in the right direction toward God. So when we're running or we're walking, and if they're walking and you're running, don't look back and get on to them. They're just following you. God doesn't want us to be in a place where we don't trust him. He doesn't want us to be in a place where we're exhausted and we feel like he's abandoned us. He doesn't want us to be in a place where we just walk away from Him. So how do we do all that? How do we do that? One, we need to figure out how to get our trust back with God. How do we do that? When we go to God, we go to Christ, and we talk about what our problem is. We talk about what our problem is. We lay it before Him. And we talk to Him about it. And we take a few moments and we listen. And we might bring a scripture up. Lord, Your Word says this. Let it apply to my life. Maybe it could be those who trust in the Lord will renew their strength. Lord, I'm trying to trust You. And I need to be stronger. I need my strength in myself. My spirit needs to be stronger. Help me to do that. Let me tell you, God's already there and He's showing up for that. I'm telling you what. When you're asking God to help you with your heart and your heart motives, that's His business. Let me tell you, Jesus is in the restoring business. He's in the saving business. He's in the compassion business. He's in the helping business. He's in the loving business. Satan is in the destroying and the hatred business and the lying business and the death business. Jesus is in the life business, giving business. Some of us are letting Satan work too much in our lives. We need to be walking toward the light of Jesus Christ, letting Jesus do what He can do, miracles, moving mountains in our life, opening up seas in our life, healing us in our life, making a way for the Lord in our life. Do you have room for Him in your heart today? Do you have room for Him on Friday night? You have room for Him? Because He would love to come and be a part of your life. And I stand at the door and knock. He's knocking. All you got to do is let Him in. Let Him sit down with you and talk. If you can't get over something that's happened to you in a long time ago, I'm telling you, that's exactly what He wants to talk about. So that you can become free of it. That you can become strengthened instead of being under it. Jesus wants to put you over it. Let's stand. We'll open up the altar right now.